Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where you in time for another edition of Spiritual Perspectives. Can you imagine that? A love that can't go wrong. And I want you to know this love I have is just for you. If you would open your heart and let me in, just let me in. For my love is strong and it lasts forever. You will never find a better love. Never in a million years. My love is the one you've been thinking of.
So come let me dry your tears.
You will never find a better love.
Never in a million years.
My love is the one you've been dreaming of. Mr. Jonathan Butler singing Never Find a Better Love. And as you have guessed, he is singing about God's love for us, the perfect love. Song written by Jonathan Butler as well. And this is about love. I decided to go ahead and start the hour off with a song about love because we're continuing our discussion about love. As a matter of fact, why we love. And we've talked about a number of things that have to do with love, and some of it has to do with how we love. We're mixing in quite a bit of elements of love, facets of love, but the primary focus is why we love. So as we continue our discussion of why we love, let's take a look at John chapter 15. And let's begin verse at verse 9. John 15, verse 9, which reads, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Think about the relationship that God the Father had with God the Son, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our rescuer from sin and many of its consequences, our rescuer from sin and its eternal consequences, the Lord Jesus, the great one, the great King. Think about the relationship they had with each other. Think about the love the Father had for Jesus. And keep this in mind. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, in the same way as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Again, think about that relationship that the Father and the Son had. And Jesus said, in the same way that the Father loved me, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Think about the relationship that Jesus had with his disciples. Think about the great love he had for those who were staying with him, following him from place to place to place, listening to him, watching him, observing him closely for the purpose of understanding how he lived so that they could imitate his life, so that they could teach what he taught, so that they could live the righteous lifestyle that he lived, so that they could be like him. That's what it means to follow. You know, the King James Version says, be ye followers. Other versions put it more accurately, be ye imitators. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of Christ. They were following him from one town to the next, one city to the next, no matter what kind of flack they caught from the religious leaders. They stayed with Jesus. I'm talking about the 12 disciples. One of them was a fraud. I'm talking about Judas Iscariot. But the other 11 were sincere. And they followed him for the purpose of being like him. And they knew that they would become like him by seeing how he conducted himself, by listening to his teachings day in and day out, watching him as he healed people from diseases and sicknesses, watching him as he drove demons out of people, and listening to what he said, watching how he responded to people who opposed him. Think about the relationship, the love, the affection he had for them, because they were his disciples, the ones who were continually learning from him. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The Father has great affection for me. And in the same way, I have great affection for you. Think about this. Jesus said, I do the things that I see the Father do. Jesus is God, but he is God the Son, who lives under the authority of God the Father. And God the Son, Jesus said, I do only what I see the Father doing. He was continually learning from his Father. And his Father, as a result, had great affection for you, for him. God the Father said to the Son on at least two occasions, once when he was baptized by John the Baptist, and again when he was on the mountain, they call it the, Mount of Transfiguration, not because the mountain so much was transfigured, but primarily because Jesus was transfigured as he spoke with Moses and Elijah, and Peter, James, and John were with Jesus when this happened. They saw Jesus' transfiguration, not transformation. There's a big difference. His transfiguration. Transformation having to do with how we change on the inside, how our spirits, our personalities change on the inside to become more like God. Transfiguration had to do with how the glory of the Lord was released so that it could be revealed to Peter, James, and John in a way that no one had ever seen the glory of the Lord revealed, shown through Jesus Christ from the inside out, becoming so bright that it transfigured his clothes, making his clothes a bright white, brighter than they'd ever been. Same clothes, brightened by the glory that shone from within Jesus. And on that occasion, and when the Lord Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, God the Father said of Jesus, "He is my son in whom I am well pleased, highly pleased, greatly pleased." And he had an affection. He had feelings of affection and passion for his son Jesus. And Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." And by virtue of the fact that he instructed them to remain in his love, in and of itself is proof positive that to remain in his love would be a choice. They could choose to remain. They could choose not to remain in his love. He directed them to remain in his love. Continue to live the way you've been living so that I'll continue to have these feelings of affection and passion for you. I know some people will be quick to say right at that point, wait a minute, God is always going to have his feelings of love and affection and passion for everyone, no matter what. That is not what God teaches. That is what a lot of people teach. A lot of Christians teach that, but that is not what God teaches. The Bible does say God is love, but that is not to say, that is not the same as saying God will always love everybody no matter what. You're taking something that the Bible does say to give it a meaning that the Bible does not give. As I've shared with many of you before, God talks about how he withdrew his love. He was in a conversation with David while David was on his deathbed. He was literally dying. And while he and God were talking, particularly about David's son Solomon, who was going to succeed David as king, God told David how he had withdrawn his love from King Saul. And there are other instances in the Bible where God talks about having withdrawn his love from people, and particularly from his people. Remember, King Saul was one of God's people, and not only one of God's people in general, but he is the one God had anointed. God had chosen himself and anointed as king over Israel. And yet, because of Saul's egregious sins against God, God withdrew his love. He didn't just withdraw his spirit. That was bad enough. But when he withdrew his spirit, he also withdrew his love from King Saul. And as I said, there are other instances in the Bible where God either did withdraw his love and pointed it out, or he told the people in advance that he was going to withdraw his love. So again, it's so important that I would say, ladies and gentlemen, read the whole Bible straight through. Whether you start with Genesis and read all the way through Revelation, Or you start with Revelation and read all the way back to Genesis. Or you read, you start with Matthew and read all of the New Testament. And then go to Genesis and read all of the Old Testament. I would encourage you, read the scriptures all the way through, so that you can get a sense of more of what God has said about who he is. So that we won't make mistakes like that, thinking that God will always love everyone. No matter what God has told us about himself and about his love, we have to read everything that God has said about his love. And don't think that God will always love everyone, even me, no matter how I sin, because I have decided that God always loves everyone, no matter what. And everyone has until they breathe their last breath to be saved. And to know that special love that God has for people who obey him, who submit to him, yield to him, accepting Jesus as their master. And as their Savior, the one who rescues them from the power of sin and from its eternal consequences. No, that is not what the Bible teaches. I know a lot of people will love to talk about the two criminals who hung on their crosses, each one on either side of the Lord Jesus as he hung on his cross. And people love to talk about that one man who said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And the Lord Jesus said, "This day you will be with me in paradise." That is so true. That did happen. And that man was able, while he was on his dying cross, to be saved at the last minute, practically. But that does not negate the fact that God also told Moses, who then told the people of Israel, everyone 20 and older, everyone over 20 is going to fall in this wilderness, and they shall not know my rest. And he was speaking about his eternal rest and not just the rest that they would receive by going into the land of Canaan, the promised land. They spent 40 years dying in that wilderness, 40 years. Some of them died the same year God said, over 20, you're going to die in this wilderness. Some of them died 2 years after that. Some of them died 4 years after that. Some of them didn't die until the 40th year. That means they had 40 years. Some of them had 2 years of living in this earth with no chance of ever having another opportunity to be saved. Some of them died 4 years later. They had 4 years to live in this earth without ever receiving another opportunity to be saved. Some of them lived for 40 years on this earth with no chance of having another opportunity to be saved, because God had already made the determination. Over 20, you're going to die. You are going to die in this wilderness, and you shall not know my rest. So what happened with that criminal on the cross who yielded his life to the Lord at the last minute does not negate what happened to tens of thousands of people who fell in the wilderness. Yes. So the point there is, we cannot take God for granted. He decides when he stops loving. He decides when he will no longer save. That's just a very, very real reality. I'll be back.